Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch big games from the Women's Super League live on Sky Sports.
Now our next guest, Manchester United fan, 16 years of age, went over to the club, won the FA Youth Cup in 2003 and then forged a long and successful career beyond Old Trafford, West Brom, Sunderland, Hull City, Reading, amongst others. Now at the age of 35, 36, finds himself back at Carrington, former Republic of Ireland international, of course, as well. Paul McShane, you are very welcome to the show. Paul, great to have you on.
Thanks, Joe. Good to be here.
So, player coach of the Manchester United under-23s, did this come out of nowhere? Had you been working towards something like this? I know you'd been at Rochdale until the summer just gone.
Yeah. Well, the end of last season, I got a phone call of Dave Bushell, who was here when I was here when I was 16. And he just asked about my coaching badges, if I had my A and B license. And I said I did. And he said, would you fancy coming in, doing a little bit with the 14s and 16s? 14s and 16s. And I said, yeah. I said, yeah, I'll be bang up for that. So I went in, had a look, and I sort of assisted Travis Binion, who was head of coaching, from the 14s to 16s. And was just there 2 or 3 weeks. And then Justin Cochrane came in as head of coaching for the 18s to 23s, and he wanted to meet me, and I had a meeting with him in Manchester, and basically he just put it like to me and said, listen, this is the role that I'm thinking of doing, would you be up for it? And I said yeah, of course I would. I thought it was gonna be a perfect transition from playing into coaching, so I jumped at the chance.
Because I saw you say that lockdown was a little glimpse of retirement, scared the life out of me, a bit of a wake-up call. So maybe were you starting to think about the next great frontier beyond playing a little bit anyway?
Yeah, I was. Lockdown was, it was just, I needed something to do every day. And it did give me a little glimpse of, if I retired, what it would be like if I wasn't prepared. So I did start thinking that way, and what I was going to do after playing. And I was thinking all sorts, to be honest. I was doing all sorts of webinars and, learning how to use my phone to the best of its ability and all that sort of stuff, trying to see if there's anything else out there for me. But
and was there anything beyond the world of football that grabbed you, Paul?
Well, I did a little blog for Lapsed, which is Life After Professional Sport, and I quite enjoyed doing the article, to be honest with you. So I did think maybe a bit of writing. I don't know, yeah. I used to write the Christmas plays at Reading for the young lads to take the Mickey out of all the first team lads. So I always enjoyed that. But I think football is definitely the next step for me, and in the step into coaching. Definitely give that a bash first, and then this opportunity came along. So it was a no-brainer.
Perfect timing all around. There's just a slight delay or issue on your line. We're going to take a very short break. Seeing as we're at the start of this conversation, we might as well sort it out now. So we'll be back with Paul McShane in just 1 second. Apologies.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch big games from the Women's Super League live on Sky Sports.
News Talk already gives you your daily fix of news and entertainment.
But wouldn't you like a little bit more?
More?
News Talk Extra is everything you might have missed.
Plus, expert tips, podcasts and competitions.
All straight to your inbox.
Subscribe now at newstalk.com/extra.
Many families will face impossible choices this Christmas. Please support the St. Vincent de Paul Annual Appeal. Donate locally at svp.ie or call 0818 176 176.
This season, Live Score is the only place where you can watch every single UEFA Champions League game for free. That means more goals, more unforgettable drama, more end-to-end action. And whether you're watching on your phone or tablet or casting to your TV, the free Live Score app gives you even more ways to watch. Live Score, the new home of the UEFA Champions League. It's more than a score. Download now on the App Store or Google Play.
Business is back. More nimble and more digital, it's business accelerated. At Volkswagen Financial Services, we've got the funding solutions you need to get things really moving. Choose low-cost hire purchase, the flexibility of PCP, or the unique benefits of leasing. On every Audi, Skoda, Seat, Volkswagen, Volkswagen Commercial Vehicle, and Cupra. Visit vwfs.ie/accelerated and get ready for business accelerated. Finance provided by Volkswagen Financial Services Ireland, subject to lending criteria, terms and conditions apply.
Make everyone's Christmas merry and bright with the perfect gift. At CompuBee, we have a few bright ideas of our own to help you make this Christmas truly special. From iPad to AirPods, Apple Watch to MacBook, we have all the latest from Apple and the expertise to make sure you choose a gift they'll never forget. When you think Apple, think CompuBee, your local Apple expert. Visit your local store or CompuBee.com.
Be happy, be spontaneous, be confident, be smart, and most importantly, always be you. Bugatti, stylish modern menswear, from coats and jackets to jeans and chinos, shirts, knitwear, and footwear. Bugatti, winter collection now available in great menswear stores.
Everyone is talking about the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. It's one of the biggest podcasts in Ireland. But don't take our word for it. Here's what the listeners have to say.
The chemistry these two lads have is absolutely amazing, and nothing is off the table with the two of them.
The two boys are very fair.
And it's got none of the restrictions the other shows had, so it can get down and dirty and into the nitty and gritty of whatever they are talking about.
You can find new episodes of this podcast on the Go Loud app. Download, listen, and subscribe now on the Go Loud app.
The stage is set for all the drama of the Champions Cup.
The sparkly showpiece of the club rugby season.
Watch every match live on BT Sport this season when you get Sky Sports and Sports Extra. Now half price for 6 months. The players are ready. Are you? Get Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports half price for 6 months with Sky. Search Sky Sports sale to join or upgrade now. New sports customers only. Standard pricing applies after 6 months. Further terms apply.
We all want to stay safe this festive season, whether we're out and about or meeting family and friends. FlowFlex rapid antigen tests provide that peace of mind. EU certified and 98.8% accurate, FlowFlex kits are easy to use and great value, with results in under 15 minutes. Available in pharmacies nationwide or buy online at flowflex.ie.
Football on off the ball.
With Sky. Watch every UEFA Champions League and Europa League match live on BT Sport this season.
Now you're very welcome back. Still Joe Malloy with you this evening. Hopefully Paul McShane on a better connection. You're there, Paul?
Yeah, hi Joe.
Yeah, much better. Much better. Lovely. So on the player coach role then at Manchester United there with their under-23s, how important was it to you that there was still a playing role involved?
I just thought it was the perfect transition. I thought I could ease off the playing side and then eventually just go full on coaching. So I thought it was a no brainer. I thought that it was I had more longevity in that role, and you know, I could have maybe played for another year or two in the league. But to be honest, this was perfect for me. So I jumped at it.
And have you been playing much?
Yeah, I've been training quite a bit. When I first joined, I played quite a few games straight away in pre-season. And then I've played, I think, 3 in the league and 2 in the EFL Trophy. It's been quite demanding, to be honest, with the training and coaching, because it's you don't realise how much coaching takes it out of you. I played the EFL Trophy game against Sunderland on the Wednesday night, and I went coaching on the Thursday, and then on the Friday I was in bits. My calves were hanging off, so I had to sit it out for a couple of weeks. Well, not a couple of weeks, about 3 or 4 weeks. But in that time, I was still coaching, thinking, you know, I'm not playing, I'm looking after myself, but I was still standing. And I actually irritated a standing tendon in my calf. So it sort of summed up my career towards the end, to be honest with you, with those silly injuries that I was getting. But I'm back training now, and I've been training now for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I've been on the bench for the 23s. So looking to get a game soon, hopefully.
Yeah. So you spent most of your career Premier League level, Championship level. Your final stint at Rochdale was in League One. How does the cut and thrust of senior football compare to under 23's football?
It's quite different. Like, you know, I think lads who can get out on loan, it's a great learning experience for them, because I think when you're in that academy setup and you're in Manchester United, it's all quite rosy and stuff. But I think when you go out and start playing men's football and you're playing for points and people are playing for their livelihoods, it's a different ball game altogether. So it's good to get that learning experience with the loans. But you know, there's a lot of talent at the club. But I've seen in my career that it takes much more than talent to make a career in the game.
Yeah.
I try and help lads, like, you know, a little bits of advice here or there without scaring the hell out of them.
I wonder, is that part of the reason they chose you? I mean, I'm sure, look, you've obviously made an impression on them with your attitude, and they obviously think there's a coach in there as well. But it might be worthwhile for certain young players to see that whether they're preparing for life at Old Trafford, which is, you know, big ask, and there's only so many that can make it at Old Trafford. You're an example of somebody who's forged a brilliant career away from Old Trafford. So that's, you know, that plants that seed in their mind as well, maybe.
It's been mentioned that, you know, not everyone is going to get into Manchester United's first team, but it's, you know, if you don't make it at Manchester United, it's not the end of the world. You can go on and you can make a very good career for yourself. So I think that was one of the reasons why they brought me back. You know, I moved on from Man United and had a half decent career for myself. So yeah, I just try and help the lads as much as I can with bits of advice here and there, and you know, just try and tell them to enjoy the journey as well, and to try and relax, because I know when I was in the U team, I was quite mad, to be honest with you. I was very driven, and I think I was gripping the bat too tight at times. And I try and tell the lads to try and enjoy the journey and learn as much as you can. And yeah, but it's great to speak to the young lads and to see where their mentalities are at. And I don't know, I'm wafting on here a little bit, but yeah,
it's all really interesting stuff. How much more difficult is it? Maybe it's not more difficult, actually. I'm putting words in your mouth here. Compare coming through as a young player at Manchester United now as opposed to when you were trying to do it in 03, 04 territory.
The same sort of principles are there. You know, it's a dog-eat-dog world when you're trying to make a career in football. You can see the sort of, you know, when I'm 35 now and I'm looking at the young lads in training, and I can see their, you know, just young lads, like, with their insecurities and stuff. And I try and tell them not to be thinking too much and to just relax. We're training. If you make a mistake, don't worry about it. I just try and fill them with as much confidence as I can. But one of the big things that I've noticed is definitely the social media aspect of it and the mobile phones. It's quite a big change since when I was there.
Does that affect the team environment? Are they all in dressing rooms on their phones and not talking to each other increasingly?
There's a lot of that. Yeah, there is a lot of people sort of in their phones, but we've been trying to slowly knock it out of them a little bit. But it's a tough job, to be honest.
Yeah.
You could easily, like, well, you could try and ban phones, but then you'll have the lads going underground to look at their phone.
I'm just nipping out to the toilet. I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to sort of accept that's the way of the world at the minute. But also, you have to try and stamp it out. Like, you know, phones in the gym and phones in the dressing room before games. And you know, I've been in dressing rooms before, not even the academy, where I've seen lads check their phone at half time, and it's incredible. So I try and keep my eye on that. And without really nailing them, I try and sort of, you know, say, come on now, lads, phones away, concentrate on the game sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess you don't want to be walking around every 5 minutes saying, back in my day, lads.
Yeah, I know. It's, you become a bit of a policeman, you know, when you're trying to trying to stamp out everything. So you have to pick your battles wisely.
In terms of talent and technical ability, has there been another leap forward from your era or no?
I don't know really. Like, we had some really good players coming through, but sort of similar, I'd say.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's similar because we had a great crop that came through Man United at that time. In those few years, there was like, you know, was Kieran Richardson, Mads Tim, Gerard Piqué, Fraser Campbell, Giuseppe Rossi, David Jones, Phil Bardsley, a lot of lads that went on to have
Johnny Evans,
very good
your territory Johnny as Evan, well. Yeah,
Ryan Shawcross, Danny Simpson. There was loads and loads. So those few years created a lot of players. So it's really hard to compare.
Yeah.
You know, back then you're just sort of, you're so caught up in it all that you don't really know what's going on, to be honest with you. So, I don't know. There's a lot of talented players here, really, really good. And I think a lot of them will go on and have very good careers.
And has Carrington changed much?
It has a little bit, even though I've not actually been in the main building that many times since being back, because of the whole COVID rules. The first team are in their bubble, so it's you know, you only see them every now and again, or train with them every now and again. So it's I've not actually been in the main building, but I think that's changed a lot. We're in the academy building across the car park. So it's pretty much the same, with, you know, little bits of stuff added onto it.
The under-23s, so like formerly the reserves, just strikes me as a strange kind of ecosystem, in that you've those on the way up, maybe a few on the way down. You've got McShane in there in the middle of it, and not many people want to be in the under-23s for all that long. And I presume in the midst of all that, you're still trying to create some kind of team spirit and togetherness. So, that's an odd kind of world to be inhabiting, I would think.
Yeah, it's a little bit different to what I've been used to over the years. But we've got quite a young under-23s team. So the majority of them are 18. So they're quite, you know, fresh into it and really, really eager.
Okay.
So the majority of them are really good lads, and when they go out onto the pitch, they want to give it their all, because it's, you know, it's so competitive here that, you know, everyone's trying to make a career for themselves. But you know, the team changes constantly. You could have lads come down from the first team. We've got some certain lads who will probably be looking to go out on loan in January. So it is a little bit of a strange dynamic. We played Everton there near the start of the season, and it kicked off a little bit at the end of the game, and some young lad off Everton pushed me, and I was like, "Oh, come on, mate!" I said, "I'm 35 here," and he said, "You're 35 and you're still playing in the reserves. You must be rubbish." And I was like, "Oh, come on." So it's funny. The games are a little bit different, but they're, you know, they're good.
And have many first-teamers come down and played?
There's been, Tom Heaton, Dean Henderson, Phil Jones, Anthony Alanga, who plays quite a lot in the 23s. He's always with the first-team training, though. And that's been pretty much it, I think. Ahmad Diallo plays a little bit.
Yeah.
Phil
Jones gave a very interesting interview in the Sunday Times about a month ago, and he went with injury, and you know, there were comments made publicly. I think Rio Ferdinand was saying, "God, he's taken up a place that should be used by someone else." And Jones almost came out to defend his corner and say, "Nobody knows what I've been through over the last couple of years," and he was talking about being abused in the streets and everything. Phil Jones, so kind of rooting for him privately to come through and do well. Is he moving okay?
He's been good. Yeah, he's just working behind the scenes. He's, you know, it's tough for him because he's not the Champions League squad, so he's sort of looking where his next game's going to be. So I think he's, I don't know what his thoughts are, but he's just trying to get as much game time, and that's why he's played a few times in the 23s. But he's working hard behind the scenes, and you know, it's awful when you do get them injuries, and you're just trying to find the momentum, but you keep on hitting a block. So you know he's Phil Jones. He's a good lad, and he's just trying to keep his head down and get back to full fitness.
So like, are you and the 23s coaching staff, are you there to win the 23s league? Is that important to anyone? Are you there to coach and develop? Are you there just give lads game time and see who rises to the top? What's your remit? How is the 23s perceived in a club like Manchester United?
Yeah, it's definitely about developing the player. I don't think there's a major emphasis on having to win the 23s league.
Yeah.
If we wanted to win the 23s league, we'd be, you know, I think there'd be lads who are 21, 22 playing in the team all the time. But we're quite a young team in the league, and it's just about getting players, as many players into the first team as possible. So it's more developing the player and giving players different challenges, whether it's like a player coming up from the 18s or maybe someone just playing out of position the odd time, and so it's more developing the player.
Yeah, I'm sure memories have come flooding back to you from your time at United, even just being around the place again. That was an interesting thing you said about almost not enjoying the journey and holding on a bit too tight. So you were uber driven, uber serious at the time.
Uber serious. Yeah.
Did you enjoy it in your own way?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did enjoy it in my own way. I did. Yeah. When it goes well, it's great. It's really good. I met some amazing people along my journey, and but you know, at 16, when I came over at 16, you know, you'd hear all the horror stories about, you know, the small percentage of players that only make it over here, and you know, people getting homesick and whatever. But you know, in my mind, I'm thinking there's not a chance I can go home here. So I was,
why not?
You know, every day.
Why not? Why were you thinking that way?
Just basically the shame of it, you know, going over and people saying, giving you the stats of so many people make it, and then, you know, you're just another stat sort of thing if you don't make it. So I was desperate to make it, to be honest. So every day was as if it was my last day here, you know. So sometimes when you go through a tough patch, I was, you know, I'd be really down, you know. You know, if I had a bad training session, I used to carry it around with me for about a week, for the full week, or a bad game would last for maybe 2-3 weeks. Mm. So it was, it's tough. You know, it's a tough career, and everyone's trying to, well, not everyone, but a lot of people are trying to make a career in the game. And as I said before, it's a bit of a dog eat dog world.
I'm sure it is. Maybe you needed to be that way, though. Maybe if you didn't take it that seriously, you wouldn't have been as good a player. I mean, you'll never know. I mean, the other side of the coin is if you relaxed and enjoyed it more, you might have been a better player. But I don't know. Some players are of a certain mold. Like, I know you're not saying you're Roy Keane, but I feel Roy Keane needed to be on edge to be at his best. You struck me as the kind of player who needed to be wound up to be at his best as well.
To be honest, I'd say so, because I knew I wasn't technically gifted as the players over here, and I knew I had to I didn't know I had to do it a different way, but I just found my natural abilities was aggression, my determination, my desire to do more, to train more. So I always took confidence in that I always, you know, going into games, I knew I didn't cut any corners going into games. And that's where I got my confidence from. And I was that sort of player. I wasn't the relaxed sort of flair player, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you remember, because I know you went on a pre-season friendly to the States and played against Bayern Munich, I think centre half Roy Keane alongside you, which must have been an experience. But do you remember being influenced by any of the first team players around that time, just seeing them go about their business, anyone who struck a chord with you, or, you know, left an impact on you, which you took for the rest of your career?
I was just all of them, because I was surrounded by so many, you know, world-class players at the time. You know, Roy being one, he was a big influence on me. You know, he was a role model for me growing up, and then to be training with him every day at times, and to play with him sometimes. It was amazing. I probably, he was my biggest influence, because I've seen how he was. I've seen how he prepared for games, and you know, I used to see him eat fruit before his dinner, and you know, in team meals. So you know, I sort of took that on for quite a few years.
if Roy Keane eats fruit before dinner, I'm having fruit before dinner.
Yeah, I wonder if he's still doing it now. I doubt it. But
did it take some getting used to be around someone of that aura, to be yourself, to be relaxed in that company, or did that happen pretty quickly?
No, I don't think I'd be relaxed in his company now, to be honest. Because I always held him in you know, on a high pedestal.
Mm.
But yeah, you get used to it. You know, then he was obviously my manager at Sunderland, and then assistant manager in the Irish team. So
yeah.
So became a little bit more comfortable. Yeah.
Who else in that team? What era we're talking about here? Van Nistelrooy would have been there. Would you have gone up against him?
Yeah, Ruud Van Nistelrooy was. Yeah, he was. I really liked Ruud. You know, I'd see him. I try and tell the young lads as well that, you know, when the strikers are doing shooting sessions where they're a little bit tentative of actually really going for it, I always tell this, like, a story that, you know, I remember seeing Ruud Van Nistelrooy doing shooting sessions, and it was either rocketed in the bottom corner or top corner, or was 100 yards over the bar, and he didn't care.
Mm.
because he was practicing. But you know, with young lads, they can get a little bit embarrassed in front of their peers, and I just try and tell them to forget all that. You know, you're here to train, you're here to make mistakes, and you know, the best players in the world do that, like, you know, Ruud Van Nistelrooy. So that was a good learning. Learning from Ruud Van Nistelrooy. But then there was, like, you know, there's Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, seeing him every day in the gym and seeing how hard he trained, Rio Ferdinand, Vidic, Gary Neville's, Ryan Giggs, I've seen him doing yoga, you know, two or three times a week. Louis Saha, Quinton Fortune, you know, how hard they worked in the gym with their injuries, and just loads. And I was like, you go on forever, like. But it's, you know, I was lucky to be surrounded by such great professionals at the time. So it sort of rubbed off on me, and I took that throughout my career.
I can imagine, yeah. And so what an interesting thing to get a glimpse at how that dressing room behaved, say, so early on in your career. Then across the next 15, 16, 17 years, you're experiencing lots of other dressing rooms and how those dressing rooms behave and operate. Was there a difference between those, it's got a terrible word to use, those lesser teams, say, and Manchester United, the gold standard, or were there pretty good pros everywhere?
There wasn't as many good pros. There was quite a few good pros that I'd come across, but when I first left Man United, and in the years following, I took it very hard to understand why people weren't giving it their all. You know, I just thought that, come on, like, it's just, that's the way it's got to be. And I think it was that grounding at Man United that I couldn't understand why people weren't professional, why people didn't train their hardest every day, why people weren't trying to get better every day. So yeah, I did find that a little bit difficult when I first left Man United, but you sort of learn to accept things.
Mm. We have David Myler often on the show, by the way, former teammate of yours. He was talking about you recently, so it seems like you guys had a fun, fiery relationship. Have a listen.
I don't even know where to start. I've had more arguments, I think, with Paul McShane than I've had with my wife. But it was just, you know, it was two lads who were desperate to win, and winning came first. The team came first. The first one me and McShane had was 2013. I just remember it fondly. We played Barnsley away, and if we watch a call it, if we'd won, we were promoted automatic. We'd finished second. We'd have been too far ahead of Watford. And we're going to Barnsley behind the goal. You know, we'd 5,000 Hull fans. A cross had come in from a corner. So I was at the front post, or the front area, say, just in front of the front post. Paul was behind me. Paul called for it. I headed it clear. They won the second phase, put it back in. They scored from it. Basically ended up going on to beat us 2-0. But he went mad at me after, because he called for the ball, and he would have, no doubting, he would have headed the ball further. And then I was like, oh, I've got to head the ball. He says a few things. I say a few things. Next minute, we're head to head. And like Steve Bruce comes in and is like, sit down and shut up the pair of you. And that was kind of it. And then on the Monday, Paul came to me and says, Dave, about Saturday. And I said, don't worry about it. I said, like, and that was kind of like me. I don't know, was that a good thing? Because I said to Paul, don't worry about it. Like, just don't even, let's not even talk about it and move on. Like,
that sounds okay to me. That's two pros doing their thing.
Yeah, it was, that was some game that was, because it was, I think the last three or four games of that season, we had the bottom three teams. So we just needed to win one game.
Right.
And we didn't win any of them. Then we had Cardiff on the last day of the season, which they were top of the league. So it was, it was pressure times. I remember those last couple of weeks, I could hardly speak to anybody just because I wanted to get over the line.
I'm with Myler, by the way. I think if he's there and able to head the ball, he heads it clear.
No, this was clearly my ball. This was Joe. I gave him a loud shout. I'm coming for it. And I think he just flicked it down to the edge of the box. And then O'Grady, I think it was Chris O'Grady, finished it. But it was just like leading up to, I think it was just before the game, what you've been in the train. Snapchat had just come out that week or something. And I could just hear a Snapchat talk on the bus. And then that just wound me up. So I think I said that to him after the game. I was just saying that, you know, your head was on Snapchat instead of the game, which was probably very unfair of me. But yeah, it was just, you know, as Dave said, it was just two lads wanted to succeed. And I was just dying to get over the line to get back to the Premier League. And thankfully we did anyway.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I guess, as you described this role as a no-brainer, this role at Manchester United, and you get to keep playing a little bit and still get a touch of a football and, you know, play even Stadium Alight, that Sunderland game you mentioned. So you're still sort of a player, but it's definitely a segue into coaching. Has there been a period of, I don't want to go overboard here, but like a certain sadness or a certain goodbye to being Paul McShane, the full-time player? Have you had to kind of accept that and say goodbye to the playing career in a sense?
Not really. I've sort of been eased off it, to be honest. It's like, it's not as if I've gone straight into cold turkey where I'm totally missing it. Some days I'm thinking, you know, when I'm with the, you know, when I'm getting ready for training or I'm with the staff in the staff rooms talking about training, and I'm thinking, do you know what? I wish I was just coaching today and just like taking it easy, because some days I'm thinking, oh, I've got to run around and chase after 17, 18 year olds now for a couple of hours.
Hey, look, Ronaldo's still doing it. Come on.
I know. Well, he's not defending. He's not running after these fellas, is he?
He might have to now. You're going to be, because I was half wondering if you were, you know, do you get a taste of it? And I don't know, you see Ralph Rangnick walking by, you start doing a few QP uppies, a few sprints. Ralph, I'm still got it.
No, you know, it's, the boat has sailed now, Joe. I'm looking now, the longevity of having a coaching career at the minute. And, yeah, it's gonna when the day comes where I eventually call it a day, it will be probably be a little bit emotional. But I think I've been eased off it quite well with this role.
Yeah, it's a nice way to do it, I suspect. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. And so, do you see yourself, you know, perfect world life working out as you would hope? Do you see yourself as being a head coach somewhere, like a manager, or do you think, you know, you'll forge a career, which lots of players do, as just an assistant coach and being on the training ground and working that way in the game, or do you know yet?
I think I'd like to give management a go, to be honest with you. So I always wanted to earn me stripes in the coaching world, because I know it's difficult. It's, you know, it's a real eye opener for me. It's, you know, it's quite intense. You know, when I first took the role, I was quite nervous, because I'm thinking, if they ask me to take a session here, what am I actually going to do? Because I've done 1,000 sessions in my time. I've played in 1,000 sessions, but if you were to, you know, a few months ago, actually sit me down and say, what would you do exactly if you were going to take a session? I'd be like, I don't know. Yeah. So yeah, I was a bit nervous going into it. It was a little bit of the unknown. But you know, I've you know, I've gone in and I'm always taking the defenders, you know, throughout the ages, like the 14s, the 16s, and the 18s, and the 23s. So I'm seeing the whole thing. So it's a great learning experience for me as well.
Mm.
You know, I didn't want to go straight into managing straight away. I wanted to, you know, maybe like learn the ropes a little bit. And I think this was a perfect opportunity to do that.
Well, it's. I mean, that all sounds great. And to be fair, it says a lot about how highly thought of you were around Carrington and around Manchester United that they picked up the phone and invited you back out of nowhere. You know, that's a testament to the impression you made there, even if it, you know, ultimately didn't work out in a 10-year career in the first team. So that must feel kind of good.
Yeah, it did, to be honest with you. I just got a phone call one day. And I was just had a chat with someone that used to work here and just, yeah, what I was up to, and said, well, I fancy it. I was like, yeah, I definitely fancy it. And, you know, yeah, it was nice for them to think of me, because, yeah, you know what, the first time I went back into Carrington was at the start of May. And that was, I left when I was 20. So 15, 16 years ago, that was the last time I was in Carrington.
Wow.
And then I just turned up there in May. And, you know, it actually felt like I'd never left the place in a weird way. You know, it was quite I got quite a good welcome, and I seen faces there that was there when I was a young lad, and it was good.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, listen, not a bad place to be making your way in the game. Paul McShane, loads of nice messages coming in, wishing you well, by the way, saying it's great to hear you and that you're enjoying it and everything. So we'll keep in touch, I'm sure, over the coming years. Thanks so much for your time this evening. It's much appreciated.
Cheers, Joe. Thank you.
Cheers. No, thank you. Paul McShane there, newly announced as the Manchester United under-23's player coach. Our football coverage is brought to you by Sky. You can watch every Champions League and Europa League match live on BT Sport this season. And just to bring you up to date on the Champions League football this evening, Liverpool in the San Siro have taken the lead. They were 1-0 down in this game. Mo Salah equalised on 36 minutes. And now, well, the other man at the moment, Divock Origi, has scored on 55 minutes. So Liverpool 2-1 up at the San Siro. Atletico 1-0 up against Porto. We have Ajax 4-2 up against Sporting Lisbon. Borussia Dortmund taking out their weekend frustrations on Besiktas, 5-0 up now. Real Madrid 2-0 up against Inter Milan already today. Manchester City.